What if I were to lose my way? What if the wind were to suddenly?
We've created a monster.
Godzilla!
No, the City TV Not So Great Movie is a monster hit.
Not a monster, really.
Yes, a monster.
The response is overwhelming.
The world is stunned.
Please remain calm.
What can stop this madness?
Well, I know the atom bomb will be.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of the City TV Not So Great Movies podcast. I want to start off just by saying thanks for the amazing response to the first episode. A lot of folks touch base to confirm broadcasts, and a kind soul named Jeff created a Not So Great Movies list on Letterboxd that had so much valuable information. I have been on a complete flashback to that time. This podcast is really a personal project. I didn't hold any high expectations, just a way to talk bad movies with people I like. So I'm really happy people embrace the spirit of it, and please tell a friend and check out our Facebook page. Speaking of expectations and people I like, when I first devised this whole scheme, my next two guests were very high on the list to approach. And I'm not only glad they accepted, but I'm also glad they chose the movie I really wanted them to choose. That's a true story. I was kind of like, I didn't manipulate that list in any way, but when they went for it, I was grateful. So joining me this evening, on my left, is someone who goes professionally by Madame de Savoy, Mystic Entertainer, aka Liz for short. And Liz co-produces the Something Strange Sideshow Festival with my next guest on my right, probably the only person I'll have on this show that fooled Penn and Teller, Mysterion the Mind Reader. And Mysterion, also known as Magictron, is also one half of his own YouTube toy collecting channel called Toy Surprise, which features his partner in toy hunting, Lab Monkey Number 9. And I saw both those guys at a show last week. I think it's funny that the first time I drag you onto my channel, we're talking about movies. But yeah, there's toys in this movie, and I'm pretty sure you figured that out. Yeah. And the movie is not only made in Canada, but it is also based on a beloved Canadian children's book whose author described this film as a very, very bad job. But what does he know?
He hated it.
I like it. And we're going to talk tonight about Jacob Tutu and the Hooded Fang. But before we dive into that, I wanted to chat City TV with you guys and unlock some not so great memories. So now, Chris, I know you're from Toronto. Liz?
I grew up in a small town north of Toronto called Tottenham. And if you have a brother who's ever played hockey, you've played in our town.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll keep it short and simple for me. I didn't have cable growing up. I grew up with a black and white TV until I was in grade 5, and I didn't get cable until I moved to the city. But what I did get was to watch City TV when I would babysit, you know, because I'm not going to actually look after the kids, I'm going to watch TV. So my favorite memory of City TV is still Mark Daly's voice. I mean, I've to this day have never heard a more glib and sardonic person make me laugh so hard. Like, he would introduce Three Men and a Baby. He's like, what's that about? That's kind of dumb, but watch it anyway.
Yeah.
That was 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. He'd get really lippy and funny. And I'll make this comment in every episode. I wish I still had the tape, but it was one of those long Planet of the Apes titles. He's like, life, liberty, blah.
That's amazing.
And I just was like, I am so happy I taped this.
I wonder if there's a compilation anywhere of his intros. Oh, yeah. There has to be.
Well, Retro Ontario's got to have, I think what is out there right now. But
they would have it. I would like to put it all together into one.
Oh, yeah.
What broke my heart is I know he did a Not So Great Movies promo, but I can't find it. And Because I wanted him to be the voice of the podcast intro.
Oh wow. Okay, well, we'll put our
Oh,
ear to the ground. I mean, I
yep.
used to intern at Much Music back in the day.
Oh, really?
Maybe I know somebody. You never know.
Yeah. What
Yeah.
era did you intern there?
I interned the Bradford Howe George Strombolopoulos
Oh,
era.
George Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, Strombo.
We call him Snuffleupagus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, and I mean, I'm going to say he's such a cool guy. We talk about punk music all the time. But
Yeah.
Bradford Howe would always troll me because I'd be on the floor grabbing tapes. This is back in the day when you grabbed beta tapes and there was only two of each video sent from Universal or whatever other record company. And I would fight with the entire building to grab these tapes for the segments that I was doing. And he would always like put the camera on me and I wouldn't notice till I look up and I'd be like, ah,
Yeah.
oh my God. Why did you have to see me pick my nose?
Yeah.
So I would troll him back and I would tell him that we were going to go shoot something out in the park. And I'd make him stand and wait for 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, I love that. Is that the guy we saw at the NostalgiaCon?
Oh, no, that was Bill Willichka.
Oh.
Such a sweetheart, too. I would always run into him really hungover when I was not working there.
Oh, yeah. Well,
And I was.
yeah, I never worked there. I made appearances on Much Music and on City TV morning television
Oh,
countless times, but I never ever worked there. I was just sort of there bothering them.
well, I mean, that's what you do when you work there.
yeah.
I remember one of my earliest memories of City TV was when I was about 10 years old and they were airing Phantom of the Paradise. And
Yep.
I turned it on midway through. I had no clue what it was.
Yep.
I don't even remember making any effort to find out what it was called by listening to the bumpers. I just
Yeah, me
watched
either.
it, and I was just in this headspace of there, there was a sort of element to the movie that I wasn't supposed to be watching it. I don't know what or
Yeah.
why,
Yeah.
but it felt wrong, and maybe I can get in trouble for watching it.
Yeah,
And
you're preaching to the choir
you know what I mean? And
here.
so I went to school on Monday, and I remember asking people, did anyone see this movie? No one knew what I was talking about. And I didn't even think to look in the TV guide.
Yeah.
And then years later, like 3 years later, maybe I was 13, I went into a video store with my father. He lived at Yonge and Eglinton, and I was visiting him, and there was a video store in the basement by the mo little mall that they had. And he said, "Get whatever you want." I said, "Okay." And there it was. And I picked it up, and I'm like, "That's the movie." And I remember just watching it three, four times in a row. And it got to the point where he was like, "Okay, you can turn it off now." But that was my introduction really to the randomness of what City TV
Oh
offered.
yeah.
And there would be all kinds of stuff, Jason and the Argonauts, and I remember one of the funniest. Remember when they would have they would censor out any swearing.
Yeah.
They would replace it with "Forget you."
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah, like that was more the bigger networks that did that. That
Right.
was
But
the worst.
City TV did it, and I remember National Lampoon Vacation. They pull off the freeway and they end up in like inner city Detroit, and
Yeah.
there's a pimp standing on the corner, and the phrase is "F your mama" when Chevy Chase asks, "Hey, do you know how to get to Wally World?" And the guy responds, "F your mama," but on City TV he was about to say "fuck," and they paused it, and a voice just came in and said, "Who do you think I am, Christopher Columbus?" And I was
Please, I
blown
want to
away.
know if it was like in a Jackie Mason type of
Yeah,
voice.
because I was expecting the line because I had seen
Yeah.
the movie a half a dozen times, and that I thought that was even funnier, and I couldn't wait for that kind of stuff to happen when they would air those films.
A good friend of mine had a amazing anecdote. He always American Graffiti was one of his favorite films, and he the edit of the film, I can't remember the exact line, but the guy gets a parking ticket and he shoves it in his glove box and says, "File this under chicken shit," or something like that.
Right.
And my buddy always laughed, "File this under chicken stuff."
Yeah.
And but my favorite was The Jerk.
Oh, I've
because
never been there. I know the
when he
term.
gets the dog, I think it's called Asshole.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Well, it gets cut and it's stupid, but everybody's mouthing asshole. Like, it's stupid.
Yeah. It makes it funnier.
Yeah, actually, I would love a supercut of those. Like, if
Yeah.
somebody put 2 hours of that on YouTube,
Oh
I don't
my
want to
God.
tell you how many times I'd watch that.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I agree.
yeah.
Are you kidding? I would put that as background music to my Christmas party.
I
Forget
always,
you, mother.
you ever see, yeah, you know what that did, I think you just referenced the greatest use of that ever, which was Fear of a Black Hat, because their TV cut was hilarious because they did it and they managed to mother father mother father mother father, like everybody's saying ridiculous words. Yeah. I loved that. I saw that like late at night. So late that you're like, did I see that or was I dreaming?
You're debating it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, your Phantom story, is exactly mine. And I knew I wasn't supposed to be watching this because I was with the older cousin who, like my parents went to go see Carrie. Good God, I don't know why my parents went to go see Carrie. But he was in front of them and he was like 8. And he just had that sort of freedom in his life. And so when he came over once, I don't know, we ended up watching it. And I knew I was way too young to be watching it. And he'd seen it. I guess he was a big De Palma fan because they're both De Palma films. And
Right.
I didn't know what the movie was called. And I carried it for a couple of years. And then one of my teachers started talking about movies, and you know, he was a big Beatles fan, and I went up to him and said, what's the movie where the singer sells his soul to the devil, you know, to be immortal? And I explained the film, and I realized, like, oh yeah, I go to Catholic school. And he was horrified that I had seen this movie.
Well, it can happen. I've done worse.
Yeah. But do you guys remember the not so great movie?
Yeah, of
Yeah.
course.
It was a godsend for me. I tried to watch it every Sunday. I now looking at the list, I missed a lot of it, and some of this stuff's going to be really hard if I want to cover it for the podcast. Like,
Now, was Jacob Tutu on that list? Like, was
yeah,
that considered a not so great movie?
it was,
Okay.
and I saw
It's
it
funny.
when it aired.
I did too. And
Yeah.
I remember seeing it as a little boy.
Oh, so you saw it as a
And
kid.
I 100% saw it as a kid. And I remember thinking that the prisoners looked like Eddie Munster.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
I remember having that comparison. And I'd read the book, and
Oh, okay.
so
Yeah, I'd never
I
heard of
knew
it
what it
either.
was. I knew what was going on. I actually thought it was I mean, mind you, I was probably 7 or something, but when I saw it, 7 or 8, and I was at my mom's apartment, and I remember sitting in the kitchen and watching it on a little television and loving it. I thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong. I think we also watched it in school.
Really?
Yeah,
Oh.
I think we did. I don't know how. It might have been on a tape, on a beta or something,
Well,
but
the
I do
packaging.
remember. Yeah, but I remember watching it with a group of people and knowing that they're going to put a chocolate bar in his bread. And when we rewatched it, I
Yeah.
turned to Liz and I was calling out things that I remembered. About the movie, and that was one of the things I said. He's gonna find candy in his bread. There's gonna be this. There's gonna be that, and he's gonna start kissing the hooded fang at one part to soften him up. And those are
Super
the only
comfortable
pictures.
scene.
Those are the only images I remember from when I was a little kid. I remember that, and that the little kid had my stupid haircut.
I think every kid had that stupid haircut.
Yeah,
That
like you
stupid
were,
haircut.
which one of the three that we were offered did he have?
I had the I
You
hate
were offered an option?
oh no I have the I hate brushing your hair and you have a stupid bowl cut
Yeah.
And I hated having my hair brushed. So of course my mother was like, fine, you're gonna have a bowl cut.
Yeah.
When my life changed for the worse when my mom decided that she was no longer in charge of my haircuts. My dad would just take me where he gets his haircuts. And let's just say, like, you know how they say the other side of the tracks?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
This place was like almost under the track.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So was it last choice hair cutters?
Oh, yeah.
Oh no, this was some guy my dad knew.
Yeah.
He was Italian. I almost lost an ear because a girl walked by that was real hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it didn't matter. I would go in that chair and I'd go, oh, I want this and I want that. And then he'd look at my dad and my dad would say, and it would be 1957. You know, the
Okay, yeah.
one
I'll
haircut
get the
he
number
knew.
10.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only one he knows.
Yeah, the number 10.
The number 10.
Exactly. You know, I was looking up, and I can't believe this. I don't know, maybe you can debate it, maybe you know something about this that we don't know. But I looked up the Jacob Tutu film, and I don't know how this is possible for 1978. It had a budget of $1 million.
Yeah, what's that about?
I think I think that's probably like
Wow.
it's a low budget film.
Look, that is not low budget.
Well, it's not
Well, if
huge. A million.
$1 million in 1978 is the equivalent of about $8 million now, the sets are abysmal.
Well,
The
it looks
only
like
thing,
it was shot on video.
yeah, it looks like it was shot on video. The only thing I can think of is it went to Alex Karras. That's it.
Oh yeah, okay. You know what? I've been sitting here thinking, like, I don't know. $1 million doesn't seem like a lot to make a movie, but I was thinking in more today's terms.
No,
You guys
1970, they would
actually,
have 8 or 9 million now.
I would
And
have to say that I would have to say that some of that, that investment might have been from the sales of the book and the Costa Mordecai Richler. Like, I don't remember when Dudie Kravitz the film came out, but that was a popular film, and I think
Right.
that
So
but
you think the
yeah,
budget could have been partly licensing.
partly
Could have
yeah
been.
license.
So Star Wars only cost 8 or 9 million.
Oh yeah, okay, well.
So, it just found it really an odd number. And I kind of went maybe 100,000, but everywhere I looked, I found it was $1 million to make the movie.
Well, here's a conspiracy theory that I've come up with because, I mean, if I was trying to describe what I thought of the film and I wrote that it was a Brazil-esque fever dream for children.
Yeah.
Like if Terry Gilliam and David Bowie had partnered up to create a childhood acid trip, a la H.R. Puff and stuff. Like I wonder, did they do any licensing with Sid and Marty Krofft? Because it feels like they had a hand in the art direction. Maybe that's where the money came from and they just didn't mention anything.
I feel like it's somebody really tr like, and I guess, this is one of the things about the film is I find the character design, especially Master Fish and Mrs. Fowl, are like attempts. You ever watch like a really low budget children's, like a Christian children's show, and they try to get Muppets,
100%.
and
Yeah,
the Muppets are
I
just
do all the
like
time.
the
It was a little
Muppets.
bit witchy poo. Yeah,
Yeah,
it
but the
was very
Muppets
witchy.
aren't right. They aren't cute. They missed that target.
Yeah.
And I feel those characters were supposed to be adorable, but instead they went all the way into Nightmare Town, like right past the kid catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Mean Goat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I can't. Like, I looked at those characters and they kind of look like borderline Doctor Who characters from the 60s.
Yeah.
And this is something, speaking of conspiracy theories, and I if I could pull up the meme of like Charlie Day and all the string theory stuff right now, I feel like Mrs. Fowl or whatever she is like the chicken lady prototype.
God, I never thought of that.
Actually, there's so many influences in this film because I was saying to Mr. and Miss Aaron here when we were watching, the end when they find Jacob, asleep in the pile of leaves.
Yeah.
It has David Bowie written all over it. Like, I wonder if he watched this movie when he was writing Labyrinth, because if you listen to both soundtracks, they sound so similar. And we couldn't find a listing for the composer
There's
until
nothing.
I did a deep dive on Wiki, and I found out that it's Canadian composer Louis Fury. And I wonder if David Bowie and Louis Fury had any kind of connection, because when you
Very Bowie-esque.
Listen to it at the end, it's very Bowie-esque. Like, you can see Sarah running across the lawn in her gown, running away from the rain.
And that guy is going, like, I think that
Right?
is a little tough for me, but I knew where he was going with that. I just.
But isn't that what the purpose of this world is supposed to be? It's a prison for children. I don't think it should have been cute. I think it should be that. I think it
No,
should
I
be.
just I get the
Yeah.
attempt, but
You know,
what I
he's a
wanted to bring up was Mrs. Fowl, before I lose this, Mrs. Fowl, I thought looked like the chicken lady, and then in the 1999 remake, Mark McKinney
That's
is
right.
Mr. Fish.
That's
Whoa.
right.
And
She's
it's like, what the
100%.
hell?
Oh, the red strings are
Weird.
going everywhere now.
Yeah, like that's
Absolutely.
a weird connection. But
Or Canada only has a small cesspool of
talent.
for talent.
Yeah.
But
But and did you
I hear you. That's a really interesting connection.
And did you notice that the courtroom scene was just straight out of Pink Floyd's The Wall?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, totally. I also felt a little Gentleman of the Paradise too. You know, that kind of that impossibly tall judge.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I guess we should just explain the story for those who haven't seen it. This is a children's fantasy about the youngest of five children. It is based on Mordecai Richler's youngest son, Jacob, who had to say things two times to get heard. It also, going back to City TV, actually has a mention of a future City TV employee and Much Music employee, Daniel Richler, which is
Yeah,
my son, and he is mentioned in this film.
and he used to come into the Cadillac Lounge quite often when I worked there, and he would have a beer and have something to eat.
He seems like an interesting dude.
Yeah,
But
late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah.
yeah,
I chatted with him briefly, but nothing. I didn't get into too many details.
yeah, I didn't know he was Mordecai Richler's son until years later. But the film is a children's fantasy. It is very Wizard of Ozzy, very 70s, and you know, despite having $1 million behind it, smacks of a real low budget for the
Yeah.
film. And
Yeah. I loved the Child Power kids.
which
Yeah.
is are not really explained in any way. Like
Yeah.
Jacob's going to prison for being rude to an adult. The judge sentences him. Child Power bursts into the courtroom, which are two kids in t-shirts with swords,
Yeah.
and they wow everybody in there, and you're like, and they are. And
Yeah.
I don't think I ever got an explanation as to who they are, really. Like they're like activists.
Every time they would pop up in the in, you know, outside the window of the jail, you would start saying, like, what absurd thing are they going to do now?
Yeah. Yeah, it had no context. But did the movie have any context? You know, it was just this mad fever dream of, you know, which it was. I mean, to those, I
But
mean,
some of
without
it,
giving
yeah,
away the
it is.
concept of the movie, the kid essentially falls asleep and has this nightmare.
I know what happened. They used $1 million budget to smoke weed, and they were
Yeah.
on child. That's exactly what they did. They spent it on they smoked up all the felts for the
Different. It's a
costumes.
new type of LSD called Jacob Tutu. You
Yeah.
do that, you're seeing double.
Our main character, he's no great actor, but he has got a likability to him.
Yeah, I
You
agree.
know,
Yeah.
I don't dislike him. You know, like if you don't like the protagonist in these movies, it's over.
Exactly.
But he seems likable, and then you know, not many of the other kids are you know making him look bad by example. Like once they get to the children's prison, which is of course, there's a scary boat. And there's slime monsters, and there's
monsters. Hold on, I gotta talk about the slime monsters.
Sure, the pickles.
What the did they just put like a shower curtain on people and make all
Yeah.
these weird sounds? Like I thought
It's
that was
very,
Doctor Who to me.
yeah, you're right, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you put a Doctor Who thing, well, Doctor Who is a bit of a children's show at times too, but yeah, there's something, I still look at those things when I was watching the film. And I didn't see this film until I was like 13. So I don't have any sort of like, it was being just looked at with a beginner's mind, and those guys were awesome. But I was like, that would have scared them. All of them, the fish and fowl and those guys, they would have scared the crap out of me.
I'll tell you something. When I was super little, I was read the book. I was probably 5 or 6, and my mom read me the book. And I have a memory of my mom also reading me a book that I remember being called The Boogeyman 77. And I don't know why I remember them being the same thing, like they're both kind of the same genre of literature for kids. But in looking back, and I did a little bit of research on the internet, I'm right and I'm wrong. There was also a kid's book that came out at the same time as Jacob Tutu called The 7 Hour Man. And it's a boogeyman that enforces bedtime rules. And if you don't go to bed at 7 o'clock, he steals you away and brings you to a dungeon. And
That
it's a
sounds.
French Canadian thing.
Oh,
So somehow my mom must have got this book in English because it's not an English thing and read it to me because my mom worked with children. So she had access to all this kids shit. But she read that to me and I remember why is there this obsession with the number two? Like, what is this whole idea of twice seven, the boogeyman 77 or twice seven, and Jacob Tutu, they were kind of like the one and the same to me. There's a punishment that's going to happen if you're bad. If you talk back, you go to kids prison. If you stay up past 7 o'clock at night, you go to kids prison as well. Boogeyman, it's like a Krampus idea. He would come and he would throw you in his sack and take you away. The whole idea of the concept of this boogeyman who's a wrestler in the movie. He's a wrestler who Jacob Tutu sees on TV before falling asleep.
Yeah, and that's one of the things about that opening montage is everything. It's Wizard of Oz, like everything that goes in that world is there represented in his dream.
And the wrestler, I wanted to say something. The wrestler hates children because a child mocked him when he was coming to the ring, and the whole arena burst out in laughter. So it sort of, pulled the rug from underneath this villain's feet. And but Jacob Tutu sees right through him. And that guy, he's played by Alex Karras, who the listeners might recognize as being Webster's dad in the show Webster. And he was also a NFL superstar in the 60s. I mean, he was
Blazing
one of the
Saddles, he was Mongo.
Blazing Saddles. I mean, he was the man, right?
Yeah,
So
and he was in Porky's with his wife.
I didn't realize it was him. Yep.
Yeah,
Interesting.
he's the, I think he's the sheriff or yeah. He doesn't have, I don't think he has a big part, but yeah, he got around.
So
And
he's an A-list actor in this C-list movie.
I don't know if he was like A-list then. Like, I
Well,
think
not when
the
this
80s
movie
put him
came
up
out,
there.
but I mean, if you think about this though, he was a very popular sports star in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
So he was an A-list, in a sense, a celebrity.
Yeah,
People
he's a
knew
name.
who he was,
Yeah.
sticking him in this C-list movie filmed in Montreal and just kind of this grimy, like that set was worse than the set from House of Frankenstein. It
I
was
love this.
really deep. It was really, and it was filmed so grainy.
Yeah, I think that's where it like, and that's there's something about certain films from the 70s. There's like a grime on them, And that's one of the things I always joke about City TV is like, did they find the most terrifying print of Beneath the Planet of the Apes they could find? Yes, they did, you know?
Well, it was like, you remember watching Read All About It when you were a kid on TVO?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And the production value was better than that, but it had that same sort of creepiness to it because it was like it was slightly off. You know, everything was just slightly off.
And had a film of 70
You know,
cigarettes.
well, I mean, interlaced signals already off, especially living with the digital age that we do now. But when something's filmed in 24 frames per second, gonna be a nerd here, it's gonna look a little more organic. But you can really tell watching this that they just thought they were being modern and filming it on video, but the video technology was so shit still that it doesn't translate. It looks like I'm watching a Buffalo 47 tape of Liza Minnelli dancing.
Yeah,
You
Buffalo
know,
29
or,
doing
yeah,
that.
Buffalo, like it really falls short in terms of production value.
I like the
It
reference.
was
I know
unwatchable. You
exactly
know,
what you
like it
mean.
was from that time from the 80s. And I expected a PBS thing to come up and say, please donate to our channel.
It's
Different, you know.
so underwhelming
Yeah.
in its production. I went
Yeah.
on a little bit of a dive on looking into all the actors that were in the movie
Me
as well,
too.
and a lot of them were really decorated actors. The
The
woman who played,
Francophone.
yes,
Yeah.
they're one's Emmy Award winning, and they're all known actors, Canadian actors and film actors, and you know, they did try.
Yeah. Hey,
They
his mom is in Shivers.
That's right.
And it's like, so there's a Cronenberg connection here too,
Yeah,
which isn't
I didn't know.
surprising because they filmed Shivers in Montreal.
Yeah,
That's cool. I want to watch that now.
So now it's all starting to kind of make sense. But can
Yeah.
someone please explain to me why Jacob Tutu falls asleep in the leaves? It feels like a after school special about narcolepsy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, you're running and you're scared. I'm like, oh, there's a pile of leaves. I'll be safe if I lie down in there.
Oh, it was a cultural difference of Montreal.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. Like,
It
even my
happened.
babies knew better. Like, you just don't jump into a pile of leaves.
You
Yeah.
know what? I
Yeah.
actually, I'm the worst guy. Like, I did not fall asleep in a pile of leaves, but I fell asleep in a mall once. I fell asleep in a bus shelter.
As a child,
Yeah.
as an
No, I
adult.
was like an early teen. I had like
Yeah.
just like teenage narcolepsy.
Jacob Tutu is this child, and his family's like, oh, we found you. You're okay now. Like, this is not the first time this has happened.
Right.
The first time you
Like, I'm
pissed your
sorry.
pants in a store.
Right? Like, I'm sorry. Okay, first of all, we all got sent to the store at that age as kids, usually with a list, money, and a request to buy Rothman's cigarettes.
Yes.
No, the smoke note.
You know?
Yeah.
And the
And
shop.
Jacob Tutu was only going for ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those adults were total assholes to him. I'm sorry. I have to say they were dicks.
I also love the cops' English because it is the most Montreal cop.
you.
So, like, that's authentic.
Jump it up, kid.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Tim Almack, what's his problem? I got to admit, my favorite, another image in my mind, and one of my favorite scenes is the fish. What's his name? The fish guy. What was his name
Mr.
again?
Fish?
Mr. Fish.
Yeah.
Going into the, was it him that went into the toy store?
No, it
Oh,
was Mr. Fox.
Mr.
Mr.
Fox. Yeah.
Fox.
So
Okay.
Mr. Fox
Which
goes
he's
into
like
the
the
toy.
third least creepiest, but still like he has creepy all
Exactly.
over
Yeah.
him.
And I remember this as a kid, him taking the puzzle pieces out of two boxes and mixing them up.
Yeah.
So if you buy that box, you can't possibly do the puzzle. And I remember as a kid thinking, why are the boxes unsealed in the first place? Oh, yeah.
Oh no, you
That
shattered the reality.
was my. Why are they unsealed? They should be sealed. What if
Yeah.
they fall and then all the pieces go missing? And
Movie logic.
yeah, I
Yeah.
totally, I remembered that when we re-watched it, and I just went, God, I was a fucked up kid.
Well, you
You know,
know what?
when
I
you
get it though, because you understood that reality. There used to be a show on TVO that was set in a toy store. And I remember it was like a math show for kids. But I remember like all the toys were just loose. So like it would just be like a there'd be a Dickie Eagle on the shelf. And like my dad was like, I knew being in the like, no, everything would be in packages. They come in cases. I understand that. And so like anytime that a TV show does a toy store and it's just like loose toys, you're like, oh, bullshit. But what this one is.
Wearing the same outfit for 3 years in a row, that would never happen.
Oh yeah, I never thought of that. Yeah, Jeff's look is just year round.
Here's the thought, Brian.
Yeah.
If Jeff's mannequin is wearing that cap and that vest
Yeah.
in that universe, that means that citizens have gone into that shop and purchase that ensemble and are also wearing that cap and that vest outside of what you see on the Today's Special screen.
That's right.
Yeah, it must be a very
It's a
popular
look.
outfit.
Yeah.
It's a look.
It's called cable community television. We shot this on video look.
That's right. Did you t I know you did this because I know you did this. When they show the toy scene, the toy shop scene, you were looking to see what was on the shelves, weren't you?
I've known since the first time I've seen it that there is an end cap of Mego Planet of the Apes there. And
That's right.
it's freaking glorious because
That's right. I was
not
going
only are
to
they there, but they're like bursting off the shelves. Like
That's
there's
right.
too
I'm thinking
many.
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it. You're thinking, man, if I could only go back there for one day to that toy world and grab it all up. And that was filmed in the Montreal Mall, right? That's where that toy
Oh, yeah.
was.
Absolutely. Yeah. I recognize that. And what a wonderful toy store. And that would have been 77 they were filming that.
That's right.
So but that makes sense. I mean, apes were still selling at that point. I wish they were still selling now.
Yeah. Well, in a way they are, but
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have a off topic. My grandmother lives at Bathurst and Finch and has lived there since the dawn of time. And when I was about 4 years old, the convenience store is still there, the same convenience store. I remember going into the convenience store and getting an Urko and a Bullwinkle chalkboard.
Oh, wow.
Just because I was with my grandparents and that's what they bought me. But I got Urko and a Bullwinkle chalkboard, and that must have been 78, maybe. So they were being discounted at a convenience store, probably cost a dollar or two because they wouldn't have bought anything more than that. And
Actually, the guy putting them in those stores was my dad.
you're kidding me. Well,
No,
there you have it.
we had thousands of every birthday party I went to. I was like, here's an Urko and some Action Jackson stuff. Yeah, I was given
So
those.
that makes total sense.
Yeah, no,
Okay. That how it adds up.
he bought
But
like
what about the Bullwinkle chalkboards? Did he distribute those? No.
that. He could have, but I don't remember them. There's a lot of stuff I go through the receipts now and then, and it's like I don't remember. Like, he bought like 20 gross of the AHI Batmobiles.
Oh
And
my
I don't
God.
remember those. So, I guess they came and went.
Yeah, well, wild.
Yeah. So,
But
but
yeah,
that
the toy shop scene.
the toy shop scene is amazing. There's actually two scenes, I guess, but they're really just the same scene. They just split them up with Child Power going back to the toy store. And like you said, Mr. Fox is sent to do to play havoc with toys, and by doing his secret mission is to go to one single store
That's
and fuck up
correct.
their inventory. Yeah.
The one toy store for all the children in Canada,
Yeah,
the world. There's only
there's
one.
only one, and he's
Hey,
you
it
know
was
he's
in Dublin, Ireland.
it also kind of reminded me of that scene. Have you ever seen the movie Bedazzled with Peter Cook and Dudley Moore?
Know of it. I have
Yeah,
not seen or remember a second of it. I know I must have seen it back in the day.
it's possibly my favorite comedy of all time, and basically Peter Cook is the devil, and they go back to his place, and he's just sort of pathetic, and he's just sitting there scratching records, and then putting them in a box and sending them out. And he like opens a puzzle and he'll take one piece and throw it out, put it back in the box. He's just being a like he's just 247 being a dick.
Yeah.
And that scene really reminds me of what Mr. Fox is doing. Now, it just may be unrelated, but there's just something about that it brought out like a synergy to those two scenes for me.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But yeah, so basically for some reason Child Power couldn't free Jacob from the prison, but then they go and break him out of the prison.
Child power is flawed.
I don't know why they didn't just grab him before he went to the prison, but they got this whole tracking device, and then Mr. Fox steals it. And
Well, he feels it, yeah.
but Jacob, all this time, we're supposed to have some sort of, I think, tense, tete-a-tete with the Hooded Fang, but he's never really that threatening.
No. No.
Like you
He
kind of,
needs to feed Jacob to the sharks, but Jacob calls him out right off the bat and says, "I know you're really not mean." You know, he knows he's the one leaving him candy and giving him treats. He knows that deep down inside, he's really not a villain whatsoever.
And it's kind of funny because he's supposed to be the scariest one, but he's being outclassed by Fitz and Foul there, big time.
But he also comes across as kind of dumb too, because he's with his mom and he's a little bit dumb, and she's kind of keeping him in line, sort of like the Ma Kettle sort of thing going on with the dumb son. And even the way he talks, he's kind of got that voice,
Oh yeah, he's totally doing like Looney Tunes here, which
Yeah, exactly.
He's a bit buffoonish.
yeah, but it's pretty good. It's a good imitation of that kind of,
That archetype of a the G boss,
He does appear to be having fun, and that may be due to like, who knows, 250 grand in a duffel bag in his hotel.
I can't help but wonder what this film would be like, though, if Del Toro directed it.
Oh
You know, like,
wow. Yeah.
I mean, imagine the Hooded
There's an
Fang
idea.
But
being
only for $1 million.
Yeah. Hey, he could do it, I'm sure.
Oh, he
Make a
could.
short.
Could he top that prison model? I don't know.
Now, when I used to make appearances on YTV, I forgot that there was a Jacob Tutu cartoon.
There
And
I think my kids watched that.
I completely forgot about it. Because I never watched the programming. I just went on, I would film the bumper, and then I would go home, and I never even watched my own appearances. But there was a Jacob Tutu cartoon, and then I found it on YouTube. And as a 50-year-old man watching a kids show from 2006, there's not even a nostalgia factor, so it had zero purpose. I got through
I gotta
5 or 10 minutes, and I went, "Ah, this is awful."
in 2006 I had a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old, and there's no nostalgia factor for me
Yeah,
either.
exactly. Yeah.
I never want to see Little Bear again.
No. No. Yeah, exactly.
Go to Clues.
But the idea that he's still
Although
there.
I would welcome the high five people over. They were kind of cute.
No, the idea that, they were still making Jacob Tutu product, and the movie, I think the movie was what, 1997?
I think
Oh.
it's late night. I think I'm the reason I think that is because this is a weird memory, but I swear to God, I have a friend in this SFX industry, and we used to live in the same building around that time.
Okay.
And I swear to God, he's the guy who told me about it. And I thought he worked on it, but his name's not in the credits. So I think what it was his shop was working on it. He was working
Oh,
on something else, but he brought it up as like, yeah. They're remaking Jacob Tutu and Hooded Fang, and my first thought is one of my favorite scenes in the film, but it's so stupid. Is I just thought of like dollar store rubber alligators floating with
Oh, I
Adam
see.
Bauer,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
And just thinking like, oh yeah, that could be remade.
Exactly. They're remaking it. They're revamping it. They're redoing it from scratch. I would love to see a modern product made of the Jacob Tutu franchise or whatever you want to call it.
It is a great story
It could be
fundamentally.
done. It could be done, and it could be done correctly.
Guillermo del
Not,
Toro,
yeah, not even a
universe.
guy like Del Toro would be
Yes.
one to do it. I don't think. I don't even know if Chorus is really a thing anymore, but something like Chorus or a Nickelodeon type thing is just going to make it stupid. It has
No,
to be done. It
Lionsgate.
has to be done scary,
Yeah, it'll be
and
great.
I think it could work because
Yeah.
conceptually,
Get
the thing.
Trent Reznor to do the music.
Yeah, exactly.
But
Well, yeah,
you
exactly.
guys are just like, no, they need to be spookier in
Yes,
their
I think it
approach.
needs to be really far out. It could work. I think, even Tim Burton,
Yeah, childhood's terrifying. Come
yeah,
on.
really go for the jugular with
Yeah.
it. And imagine Mr. Fish as like Shape of Water or something,
Exactly.
that kind of thing. It could work. And I'm blown away because here we are in 2025 talking about something that I put out a post on Facebook and I ask, do Americans know what Jacob Tutu is?
Yeah.
And a lot of Americans said they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not as many as Canadians, but a lot of Americans said, oh yeah, we know what it is. I remember one guy said he had the book as a kid. So it's a pretty international thing. I
Well,
just
it's supposed to be a series of books.
It's a ser yes,
Yeah,
it's a series of
there's more
books.
Adventures of Jacob that were printed when I was shaving, so I never
You didn't bother.
ended them. Yeah. For me, my interaction with this entire universe is, my kids like the cartoon, and this movie was a not so great movie that I just kind of dug.
Yeah.
Like not all of them were winners, and some of them, but this and a handful of others have become like lifetime favorites. And
Right.
this can be a bit of a slog at points. The music is,
Yeah.
it is what it is, and some of the scenes drag on, but it's still kind of essentially a weird little kid's fever dream. You're right.
Yeah.
Why make the ca the castle looks the castle model looks like a toy or the prison?
Yeah.
So, you can kind of bend all those rules, right?
Right.
It's glorious in its badness. It's like
Yeah.
watching Mystery Science Theater 3000. You love to make fun of it, but then you find yourself enjoying it because it is just so wonderfully bad.
I don't know if I really made fun of it as I
I
was
did.
watching it. No, I was watching
In a
it.
nice way.
No, I was watching it. I was watching it with this question of how did this cost $1 million? Because I did that was from the get-go, I was
Yeah.
waiting for some big thing to happen. But I was also watching it going, this looks like a nightmare a 5-year-old would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it got that perfectly. It
Okay,
nailed
that's fair.
that. It
That's
nailed
fair.
that.
Yeah.
And the rawness and the cheapness and all those things are kind of excusable because it isn't going to be from our perspective. It's going to be from the perspective of this 5-year-old, where the cop who was earlier on telling him, you're bad for talking to the adult is the jailer. And
Yeah.
the Wizard
Yeah.
of Oz aspect. And
Yeah.
I looked at it from that perspective and I went, okay, this movie makes sense. And I was kind of trying to also look at it from the position of like prop maker and all that sort of thing. And at one point I was even adding it up. I
Yeah.
was going, well, that would have cost about $80. That prop would have cost $20 back then.
Yeah.
The wall would have been reused from an earlier scene. And I was literally doing math to figure
I don't know if you should watch movies with an accounting eye. I just don't know if
I
that's good
do
for
all
your
the
brain.
time. I try to figure out
Yeah.
where they spent the money.
Well, it's because we do something strange. We
Yeah.
produce.
Okay, so that's just the Tetris effect.
I'm going
Yeah. Yeah.
$1 million. Like, I want to know how much Alex Karras got because if that was like, if he got paid 400,000, which he didn't, But if he
No,
got
I
paid
don't know.
400,000, let's say he got paid 200,000 bucks to do that, even that's a lot. Let's just say, where did the other $800,000 go? Nothing in that movie had the value that would justify that spending.
And
It
how
has
much of
taken
that
paper
money
trail
was,
over it.
how much of that money might have been grant money?
Probably all of it, knowing
Well,
Canada.
and the interesting thing about grant money is you have to spend it all to ever hope to get it again in future products.
Yeah,
Yeah.
maybe that's where.
Like, it's ridiculous the amount of waste that can go on set
Yeah.
because you have to spend that money or else they will not give the same amount for the next
Maybe they were
project.
taking the grant money and after the shoot,
So
they were going
weird.
to the strip clubs on St. Catherine and spending it all there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they spent it all on the slime gun effect.
Yeah.
That
Yeah.
was pretty spellbinding,
That was
where
pretty
Mr. Fox gets
fantastic.
murdered.
Yeah. I don't know. Hookers and blow makes more sense to me.
Yeah. But I was even going, child, the children, if they were ACTRA, what they would have made was like
Yeah.
$5 an hour. And
Oh no, they were all grade five.
yeah,
Grade five in the local public
that's
school.
all it was.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I have a friend who you might know him. He's a fellow toy collector, who's was the singing voices on SCTV when kids would sing.
Oh, cool. Oh, you're kidding me.
No, and he's actually in the Preteen World Christmas, where they sing to the children's choir. And I was like,
Amazing.
what'd you get for that? You getting residuals? He's like, I think I got 20 bucks.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of SCTV, I'm going to turn the phone around and show you something.
Okey-doke. That's you. Ah.
That is me. Do you see that television on the floor?
I do.
That is a foam TV, and that's one of the ones that was tossed off the building in the opening credits.
Get out.
Yeah, it's a screen-used SCTV phone or phone TV.
I would love to own an SCTV prop.
Isn't
I
that
think
great?
every single freaking thing I can think of would have some meaning to me. That's
Yeah.
amazing.
Right.
Yeah, that was gifted to me by a friend who has two of them actually, and I went over to his house. And he was using it as an ottoman. And I just kind of went, why do you have a TV as an ottoman? I didn't realize it was a prop. I just thought it was a TV sitting there and he was just joking around. And he
Yeah.
went, no, it's foam. So I picked it up like the Hulk with one hand and put it down. And he said, it's from SCTV. And I said, come on. He goes, yeah. The production company that his wife worked with.
Yeah.
For the company that made they were the one that made them, and they ended up with a bunch of them in the garage and gave a few away and had a couple left. And I said, you have another one?
Yeah.
And he went, yeah, I got two. I think he may even have had three. And I
Possibly.
said, can I buy one? And he went, just take it. And I'm like, you're gifting it to me?
Oh
And he
man.
goes, well, if you know what it is. I'm like, do I know what it is? So I want to get it before, unfortunately, they may not be around much longer, but I want to see how many of the actors I can find and get them to sign it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like that would
Brilliant.
be spectacular, even if I got Eugene Levy and maybe
Yeah.
Martin Short and Catherine O'Hara, a couple of them.
Well, I think Jewel Hallmeyer lives in Toronto.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
so does Robin Duke.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so at least
You
you can
know,
get them.
it would be great to have them. And I was talking to Second City and I said, I have this. And they said, oh,
Yeah.
well, I said, would you, if ever comes the opportunity, if it would be something if you would take it, but they wouldn't properly display it. I think it would just end up in a back room somewhere or somebody would take it home and
That's Canadian
just,
TV history.
yeah, I'm keeping
Yeah.
it. I think
Yeah.
I could be the keeper of it for the time being.
Oh, yeah.
And when it has its opportunity to be properly presented back to the fans, I'm glad to give it back.
That's
But
actually a perfect kind of segue, too, because I find SCTV was often parodying City.
oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, SCTV is like comedy City TV.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
that's and then of course City played SCTV reruns, so much so that I failed a course.
Why?
Well, because they
Because
played them
it's
opposite the course, and I just ended up not going to class.
Yeah.
It's all SCTV's fault.
What did SCTV originally air on? Do you know?
I think it started on Global.
Yeah.
Then it moved over to, I think it moved over to CBC in the early 80s, and then
Right.
NBC. And then I
City.
think it moved to Showtime.
But City T, I remember City TV had it for years.
Well, they had the syndicated reruns.
Yeah, on
I think
Tuesday.
they even had those reruns when SCTV was still in production.
Right.
Because I think they kind of broke those out like in the very early 80s.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it is kind of synonymous. One is synonymous with the other. I do a little feature on this called Dead Sponsor.
Oh,
And I pick up a beloved dead sponsor from Toronto past. And this week I have chosen Jumbo Video.
oh,
no.
Jumbo Video, buddy. Yeah, many a wrestling
Yes.
video game, many a wrestling tape, many a video game, many a movie
That was the elephant,
rented
right?
from Jumbo. Yeah.
Yeah, I called it because I think it was like they really became prominent like in the late 80s, early 90s, and I took a year
Yeah.
off school and I was unemployed, and it was like the recession, so that was like eat popcorn and loiter in here.
Yeah.
And you know, I think I knew every tape in Jumbo, and I don't think I was allowed to rent there anymore because of my terrible lateness. I was the world's worst
Oh
video returner. Yeah.
no.
Yeah.
Did you rewind?
What's that? Yeah, I
Did you
rewound. I was a good
rewind?
rewinder. But they had a thing in the early 90s where you paid after you returned it. So you just walked it up with it and
You
you come
are
back in.
100%. Yeah, that I
And
remember that. My Jumbo Video, I lived at Lawrence and Bathurst in the project, and there was absolutely no video stores in my area because, let's face it, no one's returning the videos. And that would include my family. But outside on Avenue Road, if you walked to the rich area, they had a giant jumbo, shining, beautiful Jumbo Video, this massive on Avenue Road and Cranbrook, I think it was, over by Lawrence and Avenue Road. So I would hop on my bike and I would ride it to Jumbo Video, and they had a wall of WWE and AWA and obscure wrestling tapes. And you're right, you would get them and then you would return them and pay then. And when they closed, I remember going in there and buying 80 tapes
No
for
kidding.
99 cents each, thinking, I have all the wrestling I'll ever need for the rest of my life.
And you
How
never
many
bought a
tapes do
single
I have?
thing.
I'll never need another one again, 80. And then realized I have no way to get all this shit home. Like, I had bags of tapes and I had to get it.
Nobody likes to move a VHS collector's apartment. Like,
No.
that was the worst.
No. And I remember taking them in a cab. I remember calling a cab, putting them in, they put them in boxes for me in a bag. And I remember putting them on. It was like $100 for everything, like with tax and maybe a little more than 80. It was a lot. And I remember, I kid you not, I got home. And I sat and I watched every single one of them. Every one of them.
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
I
Never
picture like
been
a
jumping.
Howard Hughes kind of scene there.
Yeah. Had a beard by the end
Yeah.
of it and a stinky bathroom.
Yeah, I was gonna say a crusted over singlet.
You know,
Pizza box, that's what pizza box.
took me a couple of weeks, but I did it, man. I didn't work, but I
Wow.
was, well. I had a job. I never went to it.
Oh, I thought you had a job and you lost it because you were
No,
watching videos.
I just
Yeah.
never went to it. But that's my memory of Jumbo Video and free popcorn.
Yeah.
And they had video games. I would get video games there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I had a scam going because like every time I would screw up and not return a movie for 5 days, what I would do was I would have a friend in the car and I'd go, "Hey, can you return this for me?" And they go, "Okay." And that's nothing to anyone who doesn't go to Jumbo Video. Right. And then they would harass my friend, and my friend would go, "I don't know. I'm not that guy." And run out of there. And like I'd only get It was a fool me once kind of thing. Nobody do it for me
Right.
twice. But
Oh, that's a good idea.
I conned at least two friends into doing that so I didn't have to pay my
Oh,
late fees.
no. Now, are we talking like weeks, months late? Like, what
I
are we
was,
talking?
well, like, I mean, they'd always have this, like, it's 99 cents for the first day. And then there was, but it'd be like $1.99 after that. And I don't know. I don't know how. Nowadays, I've gotten a lot more focused in my life, and I could return a movie on time. But back then, that was impossible.
I remember renting from Suspect Video
yeah, another
in
place.
19. I remember I lived in Kensington Market. We all went to rent a movie when it was it was an event. All the roommates, we had to all pick the we all choose one we all wanted, and somehow we rented Jackie Brown.
Oh,
And I mean, it was okay, I guess.
I really like it, but I like
Yeah, I
it.
don't remember much. I remember we rented it, and I thought it got returned. I thought I properly returned it. And it had fallen behind the TV. And then months later, they're calling me going, "You never returned it." And I'm swearing up and down. And Doug, I swear to God, I returned it. I returned it. I fucking move the TV and I find the tape. So I return it. And they said, "Well, I think you were being honest, and it was one of those mistakes, and we're gonna let it slide. We're not gonna ding you." But it was they said if it was a late fee for every day, that was $800 worth of late fees for Jackie Brown, because it was like a year had gone by.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I went, "Listen, you know me. Maybe
Yeah.
if it was something like a horror movie, you might question it, but this, I mean, really,
You
it
know
really
what?
did fall behind the it really did fall behind.
Thank you for sharing that story because it's not as yours is worse than mine. And I was friends with the guys. I had toys in that shop for years.
What, where was your jumbo video?
Not Jumbo Video, I'm Suspect Video. You went
Oh, it's
Suspect.
Suspect, yeah.
Yeah. I rented the Klaus Kinski Nosferatu like
Okay.
days before I moved out of my dorm room, which was the
Okay.
dumbest thing I could have done. I forgot about it. I took it home. And then I went to Europe
Oh,
for 2 weeks and
no.
I came home to Meryl and Lewis, like, hey, Brian, like leaving me very nice but increasingly frustrated messages about Nosferatu and could we please have it back? They forgave me. I never rented. I only rented from Queen after that,
Oh, that's
though.
so funny.
And I was a perfect little boy on Queen, but I used to go into the Mirvish Village one, but I'd rent from Queen.
We're all guilty of that.
Oh
We're all
yeah.
guilty, 100%.
Oh yeah.
But where was your jumbo video? Where did you commit
Oh,
these
there was
crimes?
in Whitby, there was one on Kendallwood for a while.
Okay.
And then I think that closed, and they opened one in a sad mall in Oshawa that used to be glorious, called the Midtown Mall.
I know the Midtown Mall.
I'm sure you do.
I remember the Midtown Mall.
Yeah, I used to
Very
have Pinocchio's
sad.
toys, and it used to be kind of a fun mall. It was my favorite place to go as a kid. But yeah, it has a shadow of itself, that is for sure.
I think all of Oshawa is a shadow of itself.
Oh yeah, it's
But
but that particularly the Midtown Mall is there's some stuff you can't unsee, and it made me very sad because my th that's also where like kids get driver's tests. So
okay.
I was just sort of like waiting for my kid to get their driver's license. So I got kicked out of the Midtown Mall because I was taking photos of some of the stuff, and the security guard just. She wasn't having it, and I felt so sorry. Like I can't imagine because I already witnessed a drug purchase. in the parking lot. So it was like, yeah, you know what? You're kind of being an ass, but I can't imagine your day. So, I just walked away.
You're gonna give them cup of
Yeah.
black.
Yeah.
Wow. Just when you think you're used to Oshawa, Oshawa reminds you.
Yeah, you have nothing here. You're out of your depth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Head
But
sponsor. Yeah.
yeah,
I like
and
that.
so any final thoughts on Jacob Tutu or City TV?
Well, I know for Jacob Tutu, in short,
well, we loved
we
it
loved it. We loved
100%. We
it.
did love it. I can't say I have anything
I'm trying to get.
negative to say about it. If you're listening to this, you haven't watched it. It's only 1 hour and 20 minutes long. Watch it. It's something unlike anything you've ever seen. You mentioned it earlier. Yeah, sure, there's some slow spots, but again, only 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Overall, it's a cult classic. It's something that if you're Canadian from that time, you've probably seen it. If you're a bit younger and you missed it, take the chance to check it out because it's time well spent.
Yeah, for me, I would put it, like in another reviled Christmas or another reviled children's movie that's, I think, a not is also a not so great movie is the Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, which
Oh,
I had.
it's the best movie ever, and it's awesome. Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
so good. It's so
Yeah.
fun. It's like I think the world of that. So yeah, I would put it in sort of that same category. It's like, yeah, this didn't come out great, but it still worked on some
Yeah.
levels,
Yeah.
you
I was
know?
trying to definitely give you that sound bite that we loved it together in unison, but one more thing.
Mysterion did not read my note
He
correctly
did
because I
not
wrote
read
it
your note.
twice. So ready? One, two, three.
We
We loved
loved
it.
it.
We
We loved
loved
it.
it.
Oh, it's a tutu. I get it now.
Were you teenagers old when you learned
I'm
how to
not.
do?
I appear bright
My
now. I
God,
appear
you know
bright.
what? I needed a second there. Oh
You
boy.
know, I'm gonna be honest. I might appear intelligent
Gentlemen,
in public, but I'm really not that
you
bright.
two are the reason Jumbo Video tanked. So I want to say.
I kind of think I contributed to their downfall.
So I looked up the kid that played Jacob Tutu, and he just doesn't exist.
Yeah, he did one credit and bye.
Yeah, and that was it. So
Yeah.
Steven Rosenberg, if you exist,
Good job.
reach
Good
out.
job.
I want to know who you are and what you've been up to. And yeah, I mean, it says he's been in Two Solitudes and The New Mayor, and that was the end.
Oh,
Where?
actually, and he was a voice in a Raggedy Ann and Andy cartoon.
Okay.
Chuck Jones. Wow. So he worked with Chuck Jones.
That you're right. I'm looking at that right now.
Yeah.
Now, what
Oh
are
my
some
goodness.
like that's incredible.
Look at that cast. Dawes Butler, Les Tremaine, June Foray, and Steven Rosenberg. That's pretty amazing.
I mean, everyone's a legend, and then you have Jacob Tutu just
Now, what I really loved about
mixed
this
into the
movie
cast.
was that the poster art did not match the film itself.
No, it's actually
Well,
quite what would you call it? Like whimsical. Yeah.
it's like the cover of a Choose Your Own Adventure book,
Yeah.
and I really that for me was a huge saving grace because the cover, like the poster art is incredible. And I think if the art
Yeah.
direction had stuck with that, it would have elevated it even more. However, that being said, I love that Jacob Tutu falls under the same category as the Star Wars Christmas special.
There you go.
It is beautiful and horrible at the same time.
Yeah.
Unwatchable and watchable.
Yeah.
And if you can get sponsored by your favorite alcoholic beverage or drug dealer, it's even better.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have to say the songs are better in Jacob Tutu than the
Oh,
Star
the
Wars
guy
special.
had a great voice. I thought
Yeah.
it was all Pat Stevens at first.
Well, I was almost joking it was Brother Theodore, like who did the,
Yeah.
I was like, it sounds like
Can't
Brother.
imagine him singing.
I mean, just
For
think about,
me, I thought the guy was like doing an SCTV impersonation of somebody. You know what I mean? Because he was very exaggerated, and it was like I was, thinking Eugene Levy's doing, Gino Vannelli or something like that, you know?
That's funny.
The guy who does what's his name, Disco, where he's laying on the bed.
Oh,
Terry Como.
Terry Como still
Yeah,
alive.
yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Love to
I'm
boogie.
so long. Notice he goes up. I like the nightlife. I like to bougie.
Right. Maybe the producer in the same booth said, okay, I want you to sing these songs, but pretend you're Cat Stevens, but we can't afford Cat Stevens.
Yeah.
Definitely like $1 million.
And on that note, with Perry Como still alive, didn't that actually kind of happen when that whole big thing just popped up on the internet with Frankie Valli?
Oh, no, did Perry Como come out and
No,
sing on a
Frankie Valli. No, Frankie
Oh.
Valli looks like a living animatronic.
Yeah, he looks like a
Yeah.
puppet. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's not even singing. It's lip synced. So he just stands there and the word is the word,
Just
it's absurd. It's
the body
you know, he
around.
kind of moves around. He might wave his finger in the air
Yeah.
if he has a birthday.
So is the audience completely made up of stone teenagers? Because it's
I listen, I watched an interview with him because people were claiming elder abuse. People
Yeah.
were claiming that the mob owned his soul until the day he died and he had to keep performing. And he
Yeah, but
said
like
no.
who in the mob remembers Frankie Valli? How old are they?
Exactly. Hey, Gino, we're never gonna let that contract expire, you know?
He never took my grandma out on a date.
Exactly. You're stuck there, Frankie. And it's like he said, I'm 95 years old. I have nothing else that I want to do than get up in front of an audience. If I stopped even performing, he would just die.
Yeah.
I could somewhat relate to that. If I had my show taken away from me, I would be lost. I'd be like fucked up. I get it. He's been doing this for 70 years. Now, the fact that he has to lip sync it, but he has three new Four Seasons
Yeah.
that sing great. They sync it up with whatever the pre-record is. He comes out, he puts on his show. It is known he is not actually singing, and the fans don't care.
So nobody, yeah. So if nobody cares, it's not a ripoff.
It's not a
It's
rhythm.
and if you're, yeah, if you're going in with that knowledge,
You know,
you know.
I mean, would I pay $300 to go see Frankie Valli? No.
No.
Would I pay 50? Why not?
Yes.
It's a novelty.
Yeah.
But it actually kind of came alive.
Yeah.
Perry Como's still alive. That concept
All right.
did come to fruition.
On that note, would I pay $50 to go see Jacob Tutu in the theater with a whole bunch of drunkards doing drunk cinema watching this?
Ah, yeah, like a Rocky Horror style thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
I would pay $30 for a deluxe Blu-ray of this so I can freeze frame those toy store scenes.
That's right.
And just that's all
Yeah,
I
nice. Exactly. Well, maybe somebody out there has the master and we
Yeah,
can
come
look
on,
at
Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah,
Oh, I
exactly. I wonder if they have a copy.
you know
Well,
what?
you
We
know,
should
like,
do tonight. Message
okay.
him, ask him.
Yeah, we know the guy. Yeah,
Oh,
we all
okay,
know the
good.
guy.
The
Everyone knows the guy.
I noticed they just released one of the not so great movies, The Terrornauts. With
Oh, well, that I've never
I've
heard
never
of.
seen.
okay, you know what? I saw it on Not So Great Movies. I can't wait for the episode. I just sat through it again because it is kind of a public domain movie, and I like watching the greasy print. You know, I don't want to watch the Blu-ray, but it's a, it, if Jacob Tutu deserves a Blu-ray more than the Terrornauts.
Oh, this
Okay.
looks phenomenal.
Oh, I'm looking
Oh,
at
yeah.
the sacrifice to the gods of a ghastly galaxy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's a Doctor Who where Patrick Troughton never shows up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear
Yeah.
you. Is it British?
Unbelievably so.
Well, I'm looking at the
Then we
stills.
must
It's
watch
great.
it. And it's got one of the Carry On guys in it. And
Well, we just watched Carry On Screaming.
Screaming.
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It was say that much.
What's
Still a
the woman's
werewolf?
what's that woman's name and the actor Fenella? The woman who plays kind of the vampira.
I know who you're talking
Yeah,
about. I
she's
don't know her
great.
name off the top of my head. I'll find it right
I
now.
love the werewolves with their flat heads.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And all those Carry On movies, and all that type of
Great.
British humor. I mean, I love that stuff on the buses and Benny Hill and all that kid, the
Oh yeah,
two.
me too. Born and raised.
Yeah, me too.
Vanella
Same.
Fielding. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Really beautiful and great in that movie.
Oh,
But
yeah.
yeah,
I'm gonna
if you
watch
like
it.
that stuff, you'll probably enjoy the Terronauts, but what you're really gonna be dazzled by is the special effects. Jacob Tutu's special effects designer may have watched the Terronauts.
Oh, okay. You can
Yeah.
say that again.
Another red string.
See what I did
Yeah.
there? You say that again. You say that again. Yeah. Well, we'll give it a watch for sure. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So, where can people find you folks? And I
We're
will be
sitting
putting
in our
these
living
links at the
room right
bottom.
now on St. Clarence Avenue. And oh, you mean in general?
In general, yeah, not unhealthy ways.
We have a very big show coming up in January. It's a few months out. We've moved our venue to Lee's Palace. We have both the main floor and the dance cave, and it's a whole giant old school freak show. We have sword swallowers, glass eaters, pain-proof people, strong men. I'm doing some spots. You're doing some spots,
Yep.
and it's called Something Strange. You mentioned it at the beginning of the show, and that's running in the evening, January the 17th.
On a Saturday.
It's a Saturday. We have the main floor for Lee's Palace, but in the day at the dance cave upstairs, we have a vendors market. We have all sorts of oddity vendors, freak show classes. You can learn how to bend steel with your bare hands and audit, all sorts of weird vendors that deal with that sort of thing, and courses and sideshow, and then you come for the show afterwards, and that's on the 17th, and tickets are online right now through Lee's Palace. You can find it on their website, I'm sure. I don't have it off the top of
Everybody
my head,
knows how to Google.
but it's a wonderful show. I've been producing it for over 20 years, Liz and I for half a decade, and we have performers from the States coming in, Canadian performers, locals, the return of a guy that just was in ICU for about 8 weeks. He sword swallowing is the most dangerous stunt in the world. I
It's
mean,
so,
it is
I've
more
never
dangerous
felt
than
like
anything.
trying.
And this guy, he did the sword. I mean, I've seen him get picked up and slammed, and he was fine with the sword down his throat. But he must have just put it down and moved a funny way, and it just nicked him ever so slightly. And didn't it get infected? He had sepsis. He was in hospital for 8 weeks, and now he's out. He's fine. And he said, "Yep, January, I'm back." So it's his rebirth on our stage.
His return, and I'll
His
be
return.
pressing 9-1 and get ready for the other one,
Yes.
because safety first.
Yeah, exactly.
That
Nothing still is waiting. But
wow.
the most dangerous acts, we have One Arm Bob, who's a one-arm juggler, and he's been performing for decades. I've had him on the show back in 2008.
We have Eyeclops, who's going to dangle a cinder block from two hooks from his
From his
eyes.
eyeballs, from his eyelids. I mean, it's all like old school freak show acts, and that's our next spot. And I'm always sort of all over the map with my mentalism act. I'm doing, things in the stateside. I'm doing corporate events and things like that. I mean, I have an event coming up. I don't know if it's going to air in time, but on October 15th at a new magic club down the road called Club 52, we're doing a séance show for Halloween.
Oh
We're
yeah.
filming it for I almost said distribution. It's for oh, I'm not auditioning. We're sending it to different magic clubs
Yes.
around the
The,
world
we don't know the terminology,
so they can watch it and hire us.
which is why we're rehearsing after this.
Yeah. So we're doing that. We're rehearsing this all for the next 2 weeks. We
Yeah.
have all these incredible new effects in the world of seances. I just
Yeah.
went to a, believe it or not, a seance convention in Texas last weekend.
No kidding.
And some of the stuff I learned and brought back is
Yeah.
will scare the biggest skeptic,
Oh yeah.
and it's great stuff.
When I hear seance convention, I just think like, yeah, these are the 2026 crystal balls. I
Exactly
just think of it
right.
as like a any other.
Love that.
You know what happens when people don't attend? It's because they ghosted you.
Oh boy.
Oh,
I think we gotta wrap it up on
I
that.
think so. Well, thanks very much, guys. And I'll add the
Thank
link
you.
to your events in the descriptions on Spotify and on the site if folks want to look it up. That's where
Yeah,
you'll find him.
I'm doing tarot reading all around the city, and
Fantastic.
you can find me at Swan Dive every Thursday. I'm going to be at Super Wonder Gallery this weekend, and it's
At
just
the Pickering,
the ALC Arts and Oddities Parlor in Pickering as well, and
where's that in Pickering?
it's on Brock Road, 900 Brock Road. They just opened in June,
Okay,
and it's
so it's
amazing.
exactly. Yeah, I work very close by, and it,
Okay. Oh.
poke it and say hi.
If you go to my social media, they're all over that.
Okay, that's
Absolutely.
funny. I'm
Yeah.
not observant
That's
because I didn't see
always
that open.
all right.
But that's great. So thanks again, everybody, and thank you to my guests. And check out Jacob Tutu Meets the Hooded Fang. It is on our playlist on YouTube that you can find on my channel, and the links are below. And have a great night. Have a great night.
Good night. What if
I were to lose my way? What if the wind were to stop down?